Apostle Paul wrote, in the last days, perilous time shall come. We are there, aren't we? Well, amen. Open your Bible, please, to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 through 9. David and Leanne, God bless you. Great job. Thank you for sharing this morning. Continue our series on standing for truth in the last days. And this morning, I'd like to talk about two kinds of people in this world. There are only two kinds of people. And we read about those two categories in three different time periods here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. We'll look at verse 5 as our springboard passage today. 2 Peter, that's page 1216 in your pew Bible. If you'd like to use your pew Bible, you certainly may. 1216. Verse 5, "And God did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly." Noah and his family were saved. The rest of the world was lost. Saved and lost. Those are the only two kinds of people in our world. That's it. Join me as we pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of being able to gather together, and I pray you'll speak to every heart today. Lord, for those who've not yet made a life-changing commitment to Christ, today would be that day. And Lord, for those of us who have, that you'll burden our hearts with those who have not. And let us not sleep and let us not be at rest until we know we've done all that we can do to share your divine truth with them. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel of grace about which we've heard sung. Ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. In Southampton, Hampshire, England, is a red brick building that's a short walk from dock number 4. And for years, this office, this building, served as the offices of the White Star Line owners of the Titanic. Today, the old red brick building is called Canute Chambers. 119 years ago, the White Star offices. And that's where you bought your ticket to get on the Titanic. Well, after the Titanic sank, the brick building was the place where hundreds, if not thousands, of anxious relatives all descended, trying to find out whether or not their loved ones were saved or lost. There's a black and white photo that shows a fence with several long lists draped over the fence with a bright light above shining on the list. And the heading at the top reads, "Saved, Lost." Every day, family members jam the street to get a view of the list to see if any new names had been added. What mattered most was which side of the list their names appeared. One fact is clear, the only ones who were saved were those who got in a lifeboat. Some of those on the Titanic went into the water for a while, then died from the cold. Some floated on various items on the top of the water for a while, then died. And some floated on something for a while and were pulled into a lifeboat. But bottom line, the only ones that were saved off the Titanic were those who managed to get in a lifeboat. Study the records, you'll read about several different people that would cling to the side of something and get in the boat. William Hoyt clung to the side, was pulled in. John Stewart pulled to the side. He was a crew member. The Titanic's chief baker, Charles Joffer, stayed at the back of the stern on the Titanic, and as the ship went under, he said he managed to jump at the right time and his head didn't even go under the water. Now, I don't believe that. But here's the bottom line. He took refuge on a floating piece of debris, and after 2 hours floating on that thing, he finally was pulled into a lifeboat. They joked that the only reason he survived so long was because he was an alcoholic and had been drinking a lot of whiskey. Until his death in 1956, he argued he had not been drinking. 1 to 6 Chinese men were said to survive the Titanic, and there's a movie coming out about them coming up here in the future. 5 got in a lifeboat. 1, whose name was Fang Lang, he swam and got on a door and stayed on the door until they pulled him in a lifeboat. There's a story of a lady named Rhoda Abbott, better known as Rosa or Rose. After her husband left, she was headed back to the U.S. to find the land of new opportunity with her 2 sons, ages 13 and 16. When the message came to don your life best, Rosa's son Rossmore knelt and prayed that God would spare his mama's life even if God didn't spare his and his brother's life. When Rosa was told to get in the lifeboat without her sons, because they were considered young men, she declined and said, "I'll try to find another one." Bottom line, there were no chances, no more chances to get in that lifeboat. When the Titanic went under, Rosa was at the back of the stern like Rose in the movie. When the ship went under, she tried to hold tight on a grip on her two boys' hands, but the current was so raging strong, she pulled her hands away from them. She stayed underwater for about a minute. She came to the top gasping for air. She looked around and her boys were gone. Rosa battled the cold by hanging on the side of a collapsible boat half full of water. She managed to get in the water, but the water was up to her knees in the collapsible boat. Several of those in that boat died from exposure. 2 hours later, the few survivors of that boat were transferred to lifeboat number 15 by Officer Lowe, kind of like in the movie. And while Rosa survived by making it in the lifeboat, she suffered severe frostbite on her legs. When she arrived in America, she hated cold weather so much she moved to Jacksonville, Florida, and stayed there for the rest of her life. Some people perished in the Titanic. Some went in the water and perished. Some went in the water and floated on something for a little while and perished. But some went in the water and floated on something a little while and were pulled into a lifeboat and were saved. Bottom line, friend, the only ones who survived the sinking of the Titanic were those in a lifeboat. You were either in the lifeboat and saved or not in one and you perished. 706 were saved, 1,503 were lost. Friend, there's only two kind of people in this world. Those who were saved and those who were lost. Some of the lost will be saved by getting into Calvary's lifeboat late in life. But why would you do that when you can get in the lifeboat today? Jesus is the lifeboat and there's plenty of room for you. Here in this passage, 2 Peter 2, 5 to 9, we find several examples from three different time periods that show us, regardless of when the time is, there's still only two kinds of people. Notice what they are. First of all, time period number one was Noah's day and time. Look in verse 5. God did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah's day, two kind of people. Those who entered the ark and were saved, and those who did not enter the ark and were lost. There was no third category. There was no third option. Either you were in the ark with Noah and his family, or you were in the floodwaters and you perished. That was it. Now, we know the ark was a type of Christ. One commentator told us, like the cross of Jesus, the ark was the only way of escaping God's judgment. Like the cross of Christ, the ark was an unlikely means of escaping God's judgment. The ark was mocked by the world. There was more than enough room for all those who wanted to get in. The ark was a preserver of life. The ark had one door, one window. The ark was covered, inundated by God's judgment, exactly like the cross of Christ. When Noah built the ark, he preached and warned folks, get in the ark. In the end, only Noah and his family entered and everyone else perished. Only those who enter Jesus by saving faith in his finished work on the cross will be saved, and those who have not entered will perish and face eternal judgment. Eternal judgment. Boy, that's not something we'd like to hear about, is it? God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but he cast them into hell. God didn't spare the ancient world who died outside of the ark when judgment came. The issue was not, did they know there was salvation in the ark? Noah preached it for 120 years. The issue was not, did they agree the ark could save them? The issue was, did they get in the ark? Well, Pastor, I'm not in the ark of Christ right now. One of these days I'm going to be saved and I'll take refuge in Jesus then after I've done everything on my bucket list and had all the fun, then I'll become a Christian. Well, maybe you will, maybe you won't. You probably won't. Do you know when your heart will stop? I don't know when my heart's going to stop. I don't want it to stop right now while I'm preaching. That'd be pretty traumatic for you guys, but I don't want it to stop right now. But the bottom line is we don't know when we're going to die. We don't know when that time, the call that no man refuses is going to come. We don't know that. Friend, the truth is, none of us is any different than the people of Noah's day. The issue is not what you plan to do, intend to do, mean to do, or one day will do. The issue is, what did you do? God did not spare the ancient world as surely as he did not spare the angels who sinned. Noah wasn't spared because of what he knew. He wasn't spared because of what he gave or the position that he had. He was spared with his family for one reason and one only. They took refuge in the ark of safety. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the saving of his house. If God spared Noah and his family because they took refuge in the ark of safety, he will surely spare us today if we take refuge in Christ Jesus, the ark of safety. And if God didn't spare those who didn't take refuge in the ark, the entire ancient world minus Noah and his family, he won't spare people today if they don't take refuge in Christ. As of yesterday, there are 7.78 billion people in our world. That's a lot of people. One writer figured that the population at the time of Noah's flood was 30 billion. Now, how in the world did he get 30 billion? Well, if you figure the years from creation to the flood, according to the Masoretic text, 1656 BC, the average age of mothers when their first child was born in that time period, about 60, average number of children per family, 5, years between other children, 5, average age of death, 900. Oh, wow, that's how they had so many people on the earth. The maximum sustainable population in billions was about 30 billion. If you only say 20 billion people in the world at that time, the bottom line is God killed upwards of 20 plus billion people by a global flood. That's what the Bible tells us. God did not spare the ancient world. Well, friend, listen, God doesn't grade on a curve. He doesn't lower the standard of believe in Jesus or perish. He doesn't change that standard. If you believe in Jesus, okay. If you don't, okay. No, friend, Jesus is the only way to be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. As the ark was the only way people could be saved in Noah's day, whether many believed or no one believed or few believed, the cross of Christ is the only way people can be saved today. Now, it's sad that twice as many people perished on the Titanic as were saved. Actually, over twice. But the fact remains those in a lifeboat were saved, and those not in a lifeboat were lost. Jesus said, when our world looks like the world of the time of Noah looked, you'll know the return of the coming of the Son of Man is very near. What did the world look like in Noah's day? It's a time of great immorality. Polygamy was practiced, Genesis 4:23. Lamech had two wives at the same time. It was a time of rapid advances in technology. Cain's descendants forged bronze and iron implements. It's a time of great violence, Genesis 6:13. It was a time of cancel culture. One of Cain's descendants, Mahujael, had a name that meant blot out Jehovah as God. It was a time of no morality and no hope. And one of Cain's descendants, Mahujael, had a name that meant they died inquiring. They didn't have a clue about heaven or God or anything. Everyone did right in their own eyes. One of Cain's descendants was named Irad, wild donkey. Probably not a good name for your child, right? Irad. The days of Noah were a time of pleasure, immorality, violence, blotting out the knowledge of God, ignoring the sacredness of marriage, a population explosion, corruption, blasphemy, depravity, which sure sounds a lot like, oh, I don't know, let's say right now. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 24, when the condition of the world parallels the condition of Noah's day, you're living near the time of my return. Unbelievers need to worry about two events, not just one. They do need to worry about their last heartbeat, and they need to worry about the return of Christ. Yesterday in Haiti, the island nation was hit with an earthquake of 7.2 on the Richter scale. They're saying that 227 people died, but they're actually saying that number could go in the thousands, in the thousands. Here's the bottom line for them, for us, for anyone, any time in history. Those who die in Christ are saved, and those who die outside of Christ are lost. It doesn't matter if it's thousands or millions. Peter said that God did not spare the ancient world. Everyone not in the ark perished. The ark had one door, pointed to Jesus. He said, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, they will be saved. The door remained open the whole time Noah was building the ark. And even after he and his family and all the animals boarded the ark, the door remained open for 7 more days. As the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, knowing that God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Friend, the day of grace ended in Noah's day. There was a day when the floodwaters from the deep broke open, and the rain and floodwaters from above, the waters above and the waters below, and judgment came. Like those on the Titanic, there were two kind of people, saved and lost. Those in a lifeboat were saved, and those that weren't were lost. And so the question today is this: are you 100% sure you're in Christ, the ark of safety, are you 100% sure that you have had a definite personal salvation experience with Christ and you are saved? 100% sure. There are a lot of folks hanging on board the side of the lifeboat. You got to be in Christ. Settle down and secure in the boat with Jesus. God's word was written so we might know we have eternal life. Two kind of people in Noah's day, the saved and the lost. What about Lot's day? That's number two. Lot's day, same thing, saved and lost. Verse number six, and if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to destruction by reducing them to ashes, having made them an example to those who would live ungodly thereafter. Wow. And if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, underline those words, the sensual conduct of unprincipled men. There's a lot there about what Lot's belief was about those who practiced that kind of sin. By what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous and tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. And we'll stop there. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah was an example to those who live ungodly lives. The sin of Sodom that brought the judgment of God was meant to be a warning to others throughout history. If you repeat that behavior, here's what you'll suffer. Now, Lot had no business living there, but the Bible still calls him just Lot, righteous Lot. He was distressed, tormented by what he saw, bothered by it every day as he saw the sensual conduct of unprincipled men. It bothered him. That's a biblical way of saying he had a biblical worldview. Lot was carnal, worldly, still saved. The Bible calls him saved. And Noah was saved from a judgment of water by building an ark, and Lot was spared from a judgment of fire by leaving a city. At the urging of the angels, they reluctantly left. And God rained down fire and brimstone on the twin cities. In fact, the blast was so violent, archaeologists tell us, the Dead Sea now is where the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah once stood. The Dead Sea is the lowest spot on the planet, 1,286 feet below sea level. The saltiest spot. It's almost as if God blasted out that terrain where those cities were. Lot and his daughters were saved and spared. Mrs. Lot and everyone else in the Twin Cities perished. Some were saved. A few. Most were lost. Isn't that the way it still is? Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many will enter through it. And small is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and only a few will find it. Estimates of the population of Sodom and Gomorrah in that time probably was in the thousands. We don't know for sure. It's estimated 2,000 people lived in Pompeii, Italy, when Mount Vesuvius blew. My guess is 2,000 would be a very low number for the Twin Cities. But let's say it's at least 2,000. 2,000 perished, 3,000, three people were saved. Three were saved, 2,000 perished. God condemned Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot's wife, when she turned back to look, rescued Lot and his two daughters. That was it. Archaeologists have found on the walls of ancient Pompeii a Latin inscription dating to 79 AD with two Latin words, Sodom and Gomorrah. Pompeii was exactly like Sodom and Gomorrah. As God destroyed the twin cities, he destroyed Pompeii as well. In Lot's day, friend, there were those who were saved and those who were lost. And as with those in the Titanic in Noah's day, those who were saved were far fewer than those who were lost. In 1912, there were no cell phones, no satellite phones, no email, no text messages. All they had was the Marconi radio telegraph. They communicated by Morse code. This made getting information to the White Star Line's offices very difficult about what happened and who survived. Most of the media believed on April 15, 1912, that because the Titanic's messages stopped, that they were rescued and everybody was on board the Carpathia and everybody was safe and they were towing the Titanic back to dock. Many newspapers had the next day a story that the Titanic hit an iceberg, but passengers were all safe. The ship was being towed. The Wall Street Journal said how the collision with the iceberg proved the Titanic really was unsinkable. This is the headline the next day. And how man had scientifically outsmarted Mother Nature once and for all. Ha, there. Word finally came the Titanic sank with an awful loss of life. Newspapers had to all retract their headlines. Here's the bottom line, friend. It's hard to believe something like that could have happened. It's hard to believe those without Christ will really perish into that awful place prepared for the devil and his angels. It's hard for us to believe it. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what the Bible teaches. The ramifications of it are so unsettling, it's hard to believe. If you look, there's only a few black and white photographs of the people waiting in front of those lists in front of the White Star offices there in Southampton. If you look at those pictures and zoom in really close, you'll see abject horror and fear on the faces of the people. There's no video movie. I wish there were. If it's only 2 or 3 minutes, we'd show that video of the people standing in front of those lists, looking at, trying to find their loved ones' names. Whatever that sense of panic was, we need some of that back. That emotion that they felt over not knowing if their loved ones were saved or lost, we need some of that back. Whatever that expression was on those faces you see in that picture, we need some of that because we've lost it, because we don't really think they could be saved or lost. But the bottom line is only those in Christ, the lifeboat, will be saved. Those not in the lifeboat will suffer eternally. The issue is not do we believe it. The issue is, does the Bible say it? God spared not the angels who rebelled. And God didn't spare unbelievers in Noah's day nor those in Lot's day. And that brings us to number 3, our day today. Verse number 9. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation. Amen. Praise God. And how to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. If God knew how to condemn the lost and rescue the saved in Noah's day and Lot's day, He still does today. Those who believed to the point of entering the ark were saved in Noah's day, and those who did not were not. And those who believed to the point of leaving Sodom were saved in Lot's day, and those who were not did not. Today, those who believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ to the point of letting that conviction radically change their life that He is the risen Son of God, those who believe that are saved, and those who don't are not. Now, God doesn't ask us to get on a boat or leave a city. He asks us to believe in Christ. I mean, really believe in our heart in a radical kind of way. John 5:24, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Death unto life. Oh, listen, friend, you got to get in the lifeboat. You can't agree it'll save you. Can't just know it'll save you. You can't hang on the side of the boat and hope one of these days you'll be able to climb in. No, that's not the way it works. You have to make a full commitment to Christ Jesus. Put all your trust in what He did on the cross to pay your sin debt as having paid it. And then make a commitment to live for Him to the best of your ability. And so the question is, how sure are you that you've done that? How important is it to you that you've done that? Well, let me tell you, it's more important than knowing you're in a lifeboat after the Titanic goes down, and that was pretty important. The two operators of the Marconi telegraph were Jack Phillips and Harold Bride. Both were young men, and they stayed in that little room transmitting CQD, CQD, SOS, whatever it was, the help message, until the moment the water actually entered the room and shorted out the electrical equipment. They stayed transmitting, hoping somebody else closer would hear them. Harold Bride got in a lifeboat. Jack Phillips could only get on top of an overturned, collapsible boat. And he stayed on that boat till hypothermia killed him and his body slid off into the ocean. McBride was saved. Harold survived in a lifeboat, was taken on board the Carpathia. Once again, friend, listen, only those in Calvary's lifeboat will be spared. Only those will survive. You can't be on it, can't be near it, can't agree it's there. You got to be in it, fully settled down, saving faith in it to survive. And so that's my question today. There's only two kinds of people in this world, the saved and the lost. The saved and the lost. How sure are you that you are a fully committed disciple of Jesus Christ? Do you remember when you had that salvation experience with Christ, when you placed saving faith in Him? Two kinds of people. Which kind are you? Which kind are those in your family? See, if you don't know about your family members, you ought to be the same person, have the same picture in your mind as those crushing to get a glimpse of the list. Where are they? Which side of the list are they? God just needs to burden our hearts about the lost folks. If you're here this morning and you're lost, you need to be burdened for yourself. We're going to stand in just a moment and have a gospel invitation after I pray. If you need to come today to receive Jesus Christ, today's your day. Don't keep hanging on the side of the boat. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'll work in this invitational moment. I pray you'll be with those who have commitments they need to make right now. Lord, we know we do not have a promise of another heartbeat. We do not have a promise that you won't come back today. Lord, we don't know. We don't know. But Lord, I pray that we'll be in the old ship of Zion. We'll be in Christ Jesus, found safe in Him by saving faith in Him, knowing that He is our Lord and our Savior. God, I pray for every person in this building today, and even for those of us who do know You as Lord and Savior, God, give us the burden for those about whom we're not sure. Help us to be sure. Thank You, Lord, for Your love for us. Thank You for salvation. Thank You, Lord, that Noah and his family were saved and Lot and his daughters were saved. And even today, multitudes come to faith in Christ every day. And I pray they would be in our lives as well. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're going to stand and sing, I think it's 287, isn't that right? Take my life, lead me, Lord, make my life useful to Thee. I'll be standing at the front if I can pray with you about something going on in your life. If you've never received Jesus Christ, why not make that commitment today? Don't wait. If you have made it, not made it public, not followed through in believer's baptism by immersion, why not do that today? Maybe you're here this morning and your membership is another church. If you sense God would like you to unite with the Fellowship of Scott Lake, why not make that commitment? Once you come, I'll talk to you about that decision today. Do what God wants you to do right now, all right? That's all it is. That's the invitation. Whatever God wants you to do. But do it with urgency, because we really don't know how long we'll be here, do we? We don't. 287, I'll wait for you. Let's stand and sing. After the service, if you need to speak with me, I'll be happy to talk to you at your invitation. But you know, there comes a point for all of us that we have to ask ourselves, do I really believe what the Bible teaches? Do I really believe it? If I really believe it, it has some powerful, powerful ramifications on what we do and how we live and how we spend our life and how we spend our time, don't we? And so I hope that's a question you've settled. Again, may God give us that same spirit of concern for our family and our friends as we look at the picture of those folks as they were watching, trying to see on that list if their loved ones' names were there. My goodness, I hope we'll know the same about all of our family and friends as well. Make sure they're on the safe side. Make sure they're on the safe side. And so that's the word today. Hope to see you back tonight. The danger of knowledge. It's dangerous to know things if we don't act on them. That's what we'll see tonight. All right? Who's having our prayer? Brother Mike, are you having an offertory prayer? If you mind, wouldn't mind, come up and do that. And I want to thank you for being here today.
Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege we have of being here in your house to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for your word as it's spoken to us today and the message behind it. I just pray that everyone knows that they're in the lifeboat. Lord, as we dismiss this day, we ask your blessings upon each one of us as we depart. Be with those who are having difficulty in their life some way. If it's a spiritual need or a physical need, I just ask that you help them with that need. Fulfill your will in each of our lives. And as we take of our tithes and offerings today, Father, we just ask your blessings upon it as well. Use it, multiply it for your kingdom's work around the world and in our own community. We are just so thankful for how you've blessed us and what you have planned for each one of us in our lives. Help us fulfill that for your glory. Thank you again for all you do. Give you praise in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
1, 2, 3.